it might not be scary, but boy, is it not funny either. Jamie,
all right,
let's go watch Transylvania 65,000. Everybody, welcome to another episode of Good Times, Great Movies. We are an 80s movie podcast where every other week we watch a different movie from the 80s and then we talk about it. My name is Doug McCambridge. I'm one of your two hosts, and with me, taking the vampire teeth out of her mouth, because guess what? She's not a vampire.
No.
It's Jamie Lorello. When he goes, oh, and you can take these out because guess what? You're not a vampire.
Yeah.
He's like, well, okay.
Right. Yeah, but when that's the big reveal that none of them are who they say they are. They're all are just people in town that have issues that are... it's okay. Listen to me, starting with the ending.
What is anyone guilty of in this movie? Why is the mayor and the police chief... Why are they in trouble? What do they do?
Because they are manipulating this doctor to continue to hide these town folk and claim that they are the once dreaded monsters of the area.
Oh, okay, so they're taking advantage of these people as tourist attractions?
I don't even know that they... It seemed like they weren't using them as tourists. They didn't want them to be out in the public because my thought is they're trying to clean up the vibe of Transylvania. And by doing that, that's why they're like, what? There is no vampire here. There is no Dracula here. What do you mean? There's no Frankenstein.
I'm going to make a bold statement here, and Wikipedia, prove me wrong. I did no research on Transylvania. I guarantee you there's no mayor of Transylvania. I have a feeling that Eastern European nation does not have a mayor that's in charge of it.
This movie.
We were on such a run. And I have done this before, and I'm about to do it right now. For people that listen to this podcast regularly, you've heard this before. Right now, I'm going to usher Saturday the 14th into the room right now, and I'm going to say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Saturday the 14th. I came down really hard on you, and I did not know that this was coming up. I apologize. You are an absolute treat and a delight compared to this movie.
You were very pained by it then. So pained that you didn't even have moments of refreshing laughter. There were some faces that were made.
I wrote a couple times down that I may have smiled.
Oh, and maybe smile. Like a half smile on the...
Yeah.
Well, let's see what delighted you the most. Let's see if we can get through it. Yes. Even.
Yes.
To get over it. I'm not against what you're saying, and I didn't necessarily enjoy this as much as I wanted to.
Yeah.
Because it is star-packed. And their credits are literally just black and white, like we're given the names on a black screen, right? It's nothing fancy to the credits at all. And you're just reading all these names, like Gina Davis, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Like all these, Joe Bologna. Michael Richards. You can't
wait to see what you're going to see.
Carol
also,
Kane.
They start the movie, and you said it's names on a black screen with silence. There's not even music to start this.
Uh-huh.
Then they have like a cold open, and then they play the rest of the credits over music of them flying to Transylvania.
Yeah.
Can I just go through our cast real quick here?
Yeah.
And talk about where we know these people from. First of all, written and directed by someone named Rudy DeLuca.
Rudy DeLuca.
Who is like a Mel Brooks protege. Like his name is all over Mel Brooks stuff.
Okay.
And he wrote this thing and he directed this thing. And I think that's the problem with this.
Rudy's problem.
It is Rudy. It's Rudy's fault.
Because he DeLuca'd all over this thing.
And I think it's very fitting that we watch this around Oscar season, because Oscar season, awards are given to individuals. And as I said earlier, this has such talent in it, but if you don't have someone who can write them good dialogue, if you don't have someone who can direct them, like, a lot of these scenes, I feel like it was just...
so improvised, right? Like, yeah, just go nuts, Michael Richards. Go nuts. Yeah.
Go nuts. To the point where there's a scene in the castle where Michael Richards is doing something, and Jeff Goldblum looks like, I am done with it. Can we just... can somebody say cut right now? But anyway, so Jeff Goldblum, we've seen him in Buckaroo Banzai, we've seen him in Into the Night, and we've seen him in, of course, The Tall Guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys like to listen to Jamie talk and not me, please go listen to our Tall Guy episode.
I was a fan of the movie. Yes.
You were a huge fan. First of all, as you said before, best sex scene in any movie we've
hands
ever covered.
Hands down.
Hands down. Hands down. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Ed Begley Jr., we saw him get his arm ripped off in Cat People.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was apparently in Streets of Fire. I don't remember him in Streets of Fire. I barely remember watching Streets of Fire. And he was, of course, in She-Devil.
Right.
Joe Bologna. My favorite year. Patrons. The first movie we put out on Patreon, Blame It on Rio. Because Michael Caine was busy having sex with his 15-year-old daughter.
Yes. Yeah, what a way to open our Patreon.
Carol Kane, who we saw in Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Right.
And our only lost episode, License to Drive. Jeffrey Jones playing a creep on and off camera.
Oh, right, right.
Howard the Duck, Beetlejuice, and Who's Harry Crumb, another Patreon episode.
Yeah.
Gina Davis, I can't believe only Beetlejuice. Like, I even looked through and I was like, well, we've seen her other stuff, right?
No, nope. Huh? Just the Beetlejuice. Well, good thing we've covered that. That was a recent, yeah.
And last but not least, a heavy hitter in this movie that I did not think was going to become anything, but Jeff Goldblum's love interest in this?
Oh, yeah.
That woman, Teresa Ganzel is her name?
Yeah.
Apparently, she was also in My Favorite Year with Joe Bologna. I don't remember her in that.
My Favorite Year, that was the one about the gangster and the... right?
That was the one about Cousin Larry Appleton and the drunk actor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember her being in... I'm sure she was
I've
in it.
I've seen her in other things, too. Oh, I feel like she was
in... Are you ready?
Go ahead, yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You know what you've seen her in.
Okay.
Your choice. Jamie's birthday pick...
Oh, I know, The Toy.
The Toy, yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly, yeah. And I really did find her pretty charming in this movie.
I agree.
I was trying to hold on to something. I was like,
I liked it. No,
in these
I
scenes,
agree.
I'm like, I need something here.
And she was, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, listen to that cast. Listen to that just like... So you think you're getting like a best of Saturday Night Live almost. Not that this is Saturday Night Live cast, but like you're thinking, oh my God, the laughs, the fun, it's just going to keep hitting me nonstop, like a revolving door of humor. And I, more so than you, felt these glimpses of like, huh? I think you're absolutely right, though. I think it's the writing and the directing that make it miss because, and I feel like DeSalvo, what was his name? DiNardo?
DeLuca.
DeLuca. I feel like maybe if DeLuca had like a consigliere, someone to talk to about some of these lines or work it out a little more.
Yeah. Or if he at least at one point over dinner said, hey, my friend Mel Brooks, can you take a look at this script? Because I'm not sure.
Because you got good actors that are going to be able to pull it off. Because I feel like as disjointed as this movie feels at times, they pull off their necessary roles, all of them. Bologna gets a little nuts there. He's doing his Jekyll and Hyde, crazy hair guy.
And that's the thing, is there are certain actors, and most of what Michael Richards is doing, camera is it's a little bit too long.
Yeah.
If you just cut that down a little bit, it's fine. But also, like, you can't say, okay, Michael Richards, do your best Kramer. And then you can't point at Ed Begley Jr. and say, can you just like scream and go, habana, 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 and look at the camera? Because he can't do that. Like, he's an actor. Yeah. He's not like a comedic goofball. But it feels like, as a director, he's like, I don't know, everybody can do all the same shit.
Bring your silly gooses.
Yeah.
Bring your silly goose in and come on down.
Even Carol Kane and the butler... Like, it feels so much like a Princess Bride thing with Carol Kane and Billy Crystal. Yeah. But it's like, no, it's not. It's not to that level. They're not. They don't have the same material to work with.
Yeah, yeah.
They're trying. They're trying so hard.
They are.
They're falling out
they're
of windows all the time, jumping on people's backs, but it never really lands.
It just doesn't feel as, maybe because I too watched it in parts, it didn't feel as cohesive as I needed it to be. And like there were things, I agree that the girlfriend was a delightful, as an actress, she was, but why did we even need that whole piece?
No.
We don't.
No, we didn't.
But the little girl, well, I guess so the little girl can come in at the end and be part of the, who. But just a random little girl could have got lost. So okay. All right. So now we're pulling apart the movie without even really talking about it. So these credits come up and then the little background story we're given us, we're kind of cold open that we're given. There's this newspaper that seems to be like a shady, right? Like newspaper?
I don't know. Yeah,
like an Inquirer kind of a thing that writes kind of those, you know, the aliens were in Arizona and you know, Frankenstein still lives stories.
But I don't even think the Inquirer is flying their quote-unquote reporters to Transylvania to get a story.
Yes.
They're just making this stuff up. This guy, Roper.
Yeah, Mr. Roper. There he is. Mr. Roper is the editor of the paper, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And I thought at first it was Goldblum that was his son because they talk about, well, this is, but it's, he's Ed Begley's dad.
Yes.
Right? But Ed Begley, Jeff Goldblum, and that's all how I reference them in
Please,
my notes. I don't know
their names.
Otherwise,
it doesn't
matter. Yeah. They seem to be partners for stories, just like your partners in Cop Partners, you know?
100%. This is goofy cop, serious cop movie, but reporters, but also immediately that's dropped. Strangely enough, Jamie, I really enjoyed this opening scene. Like this promised a movie that we are then not delivered, because if it's just about a reporter who wants to do good and a slacking, jokey, goofball reporter, I think I'm kind of on board for that movie. Mm. Because even when he's talking about, like, Jeff Goldblum, you wrote a story about a rape factory. And he's like, well, that was just a misprint. It was supposed to say rope factory. Yeah. I was like, these are funny jokes.
Yes, 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 yes.
But the editor, Mr. Roper, wants to get a Frankenstein story because there's a video that he watched where two guys pretend to be attacked by Frankenstein.
And he shows him the video. Which later comes up again because they find the video. The mayor finds the video. And he's like, right? And the chief of police is like, we must burn this video. So they're sent on assignment to Transylvania. Which, like you said, this how they have this in their budget, I don't know. But it's basically a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Like, we get them, see them flying, and they take a train, and they take some bus. And the titular song comes on about Transylvania 65,000, right? Which is a play on the Glenn Miller song, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
3, 2, 1, or whatever.
It's still 65,000. 3, 2, Pennsylvania 3, 2, 1. All right.
You know, we just like it, that.
Just like that. Change a few numbers and you're good. Did you? I looked it up. This made like Leonard Maltin's worst movies of 1985, and his review, like his television review, was him like bebopping to the Glenn Miller song, and then he just went Transylvania 65,000 stinks, and that was it. Like
he
did not
review.
Go into that was the whole review.
That's all you needed to know.
Uh huh. Yeah.
That was,
and
that's
like
fun.
20
fun.
Years later, he came back and he's like, "That's the best review I ever gave of a movie."
Well, all right. So these guys, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, they take a tour with their titular song, to get to their destination of Transylvania. I do like when they arrive, they both do this, like, because it is kind of a cutesy little welcoming seam town. Yeah. And they look at each other and they go, cute.
I wrote that in my notes. I'm like, oh, good times, great movies, vacation,
yeah,
perhaps in the future
to
Transylvania.
Why not, right? Right away, Jeff Goldblum sees, what's this actress's name at the hotel? What's her name in the?
You're
gonna
make me
know.
Scroll up.
Well, I don't know her. I don't.
Teresa Genzel.
Teresa.
I don't know her.
We're gonna
name
call
in
her
the
Teresa.
Bug-eyed Teresa is what we're gonna call
he
her.
He sees bug-eyed Teresa, with a child, with like a 7-8-year-old child with her. And he, Goldblum's trying to make the moves on her. Mm-hmm. And he sends Bagley, he's like, play with her kid. And Bagley does. He has a grand old time with it.
And starts playing with this kid. Yeah. And when his advances are rebuffed by this woman, he's like, Ed Bagley, stop playing with that kid over there. Yeah. Their interactions at times are good. I mean, there are things, like there's promise.
Yeah, their chemistry is not bad, but it could have been better.
Yes, but they just needed all their scenes to be together, because when you get them apart, there's nothing really.
Well, there's kind of nothing there for the movie when they're apart. You know what I mean?
I don't know what's going on in this movie.
I don't know,
Jamie.
A lot of times either.
This is crazy that this is a movie.
Listen, it's just a compilation of these funny, want to be funny moments that some of these actors want to be having.
Because immediately Jeffrey Jones walks out in
his silly Switzerland
hat and his terrible accent. It's just a German accent.
Can you do
right?
it? Can you do it? No, come on. This no, one you can't?
No, right. I refuse.
All right. Well, he does like a good accent. They kind of like a, no?
That's Italian. Yes. You're good.
Okay, I can't do it.
Hey,
I don't remember.
I'm a Jeffrey Jones. How would you like to meet me at my castle? Yes, I also own the castle. I am also the mayor. I guess I own this hotel, too.
Yes, he does. He owns the hotel. But now this hotel, so they're going to stay in this hotel at first where.
No, but they're not. Like, that's what I don't, why are they there?
I think they decide not to stay there because, I think this is why, Ed Bagley, so Goldblum has stepped out of the room for something, and Bagley leans over to the front desk guy at the hotel and is like, hey, do you have any strange happenings around here? And the guy's like, what? And he's like, you know, like a Frankenstein. And now it becomes,
you have missed a few good points and a few funny moments in this.
Give them
because
to me.
He's like, hey, you got like weird shit going on. The guy's like, you want women, huh?
Oh yeah.
You want ladies? And he's like, no. I mean, like, you know, like bolts and big boots. He's like, oh, you're into that kinky shit, huh? Yeah, right. Great. But yeah, you're right. It finally comes out that he's asking about Frankenstein. And everyone has a great laugh about this, but Jeffrey Jones also looks worried.
There is a little hesitation on his eyes, in his face. And I think it's him that then says, hey, I have an even better offering for you, because he wants to keep a close eye on them.
Okay.
And that's when he kind of tells them to come to his hotel. And I think they're now embarrassed because Jeff Goldblum comes in. He's like, what's everybody laughing about? And they're literally all laughing at Ed Bagley because of his stupid question about Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And so I think they're embarrassed, and I think the principal wants a way to kind of keep an eye on them, so he invites them to his haunted mansion.
This is also, I have to say, like, why, and this really gets into what this movie's about or the premise of this movie, why Frankenstein in Transylvania? Why isn't this about Dracula? Like, Frankenstein is not from Transylvania. Because even Jeffrey Jones, like, don't you mean to ask us about Dracula?
Yeah.
Or maybe the creature from the Black Lagoon? I'm like, none of this is related.
No, they're all just, well, even we've got, who do we meet? The werewolf at the end? Who's?
We meet a werewolf. There's a mummy who turns out to just be a sexy
beautiful
lady.
Woman. Yeah.
I can't. Right. With this movie, like, I can't. And, like, it's really weird, too, because, like, I just don't under. I don't. I'm so bothered by this. I love old monster movies. Like, I love The Mummy, and I love Frankenstein and Dracula. And it's just such a weird. Like, we've now watched two movies in a row that don't seem to understand what you could do with these monsters. Where if you go back, and it's not my recommendation, but if you just watch, like, Abbott and Costello meet Dracula, like, that's great, because they just end up in a castle and it's creepy and Dracula's really there and they're scared. Like, this movie's working so hard where it doesn't need
for a backstory. Yeah, there's a lot of effort going into, and it's not a long movie. It's like you said, an hour and a half, but it feels a lot longer.
When we get to Joe Bologna down in his dungeon of horrors or whatever that is, I was so, like, my eyes immediately were just, like, glazing over. And I'm like, I don't even know where we are now. what's right. happening. And I'm like, this is the part that should be interesting.
Yeah.
He's talking about like shaving a werewolf and he's poking a mummy. And I'm like, I should really be excited about this. And I don't care.
And you're rolling your eyes. You're pressing pause. You're not into it. Well, we haven't met Joe Bologna.
No, I know. Again, Joe Bologna doing an amazing job. When he just like
when he starts messing up his hair, I was like, what is happening? And then he just doesn't. He just keeps. That's his character. He's like a Jekyll and Hyde guy, yeah. right? For the rest of the.
Oh man.
You're okay, so they're buddy. Invited. Okay. This. So they
this
go.
This movie can just be summed up by. Oh man, just like that's it. But they are invited to a castle to stay at a real live
yep.
Transylvanian castle.
What is Michael Richards? Is he like the court jester, the doorman, the what is he? It was his role.
I'm going to say all of the above okay. and then some.
But he doesn't do like the other. Who is that actor who is Carol Kane's?
He does a lot of voice work. He okay. did some voice work in The Black Cauldron. Which we
covered. Okay.
Lots of Disney stuff, but mainly voice work is what he does.
Well,
he doesn't put on a puppet show at the front door like Kramer does for some reason.
No.
Which, what notes which I check Ed here. Begley does at times seem genuinely entertained by watching.
Well, I do think for a lot of Michael Richards stuff, they just let him improv. They were like,
yeah.
you just be goofy and crazy and see. Like you said, at one point, Goldblum actually looks annoyed, but because he's just like, I think, thinking, when are we going to cut? Like, yeah. how long is this going to go on
Like, there's
for?
No way we're going to use all of this, right?
I think they just, and he's got that very, it reminds me of, he reminded me of a little bit like a Borat, kind of like he was just this, right?
Number one, because he looks like Borat.
Yes, yes.
But also, he's annoying like Borat is.
Well, and everything, it is good. Yes, is good. Is good. He makes these jokes or does these things and is trying to please these two. And it's a shame. No one is really fulfilled by Michael Richards' character, who, again, I don't know his name either. Oh,
Radu.
Radu. Yeah, I thought. Yeah. I was
he's the only character name I wrote down in this whole movie.
Okay.
Is Radu. And I think it's because they say Radu like 80 times.
They do
times.
Say it a lot. They do. They do.
Jeffrey Jones is constantly yelling at Radu.
Yes.
And so he is the doorman, the
greeter, the house. Yeah. But he's not the butler or the
he's
like
not
that's
the butler because there's the butler and Carol Kane is the maid.
Right. And they the kitchen help.
These
right.
two
right.
put on a show in the kitchen for someone who's not watching them.
Yeah. Yeah. They were just their own thing.
And Kramer keeps like. The scene that I'm talking about where Jeff Goldblum has had enough is when Kramer's constantly trying to make Ed Begley smell things.
Oh, yes.
I don't know why. Like, this was the first, not the first time in this movie where I was kind of bored or confused. This was the first time in the movie where I was like, well, this shouldn't be in this movie. Like, you should not have kept whatever's happening here in this movie because it goes on forever
for too long, like that awkward long, like crossing the line long. Yeah, that's a lot of what they have or he chose to do, Michael Richards. Here we have a greeting, and then I wrote down it, just maybe you can help me translate my notes.
Yeah,
what's the juice concoction all about? No, you don't
I
remember?
Can't. I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm gonna there are times where I can help you because a lot of times I take very detailed notes because I'm paying attention. This movie is the exception. And at this point in the movie, I was really paying attention, and I still don't know what you're
still
saying.
Still don't know the juice. Okay.
You fast forward 20 minutes into this,
and you're
don't
really
ask
gonna
me
be
any
nothing.
Questions
okay.
about what's going on. Because, okay, so the thing that I really enjoyed about this is they're in this castle.
Uh-huh.
This is where they're staying. Jeff Goldblum's room. What? There's palm plants everywhere. Like, it does not look like it's a room in a castle. It looks like something out of a pretty fancy schmancy hotel room from like the 1930s.
Yeah.
And I know that I had seen this movie before. I couldn't remember anything.
You did see this movie before.
Yes. I swore I would have bet you that this movie took place in like 1938. I didn't know it was supposed to be a contemporary movie. And the reason is because nothing seems contemporary
once Transylvania. That first scene
at the newspaper's over.
Well, Transylvania is like an ancient town, you know, right? What do they have that's modern? Right? Look at those phones they have at that castle. How about those phones there? Did you remember those? They look like
monster faces?
Yeah. And every time they ring, they play the Transylvania 65,000 or the Pennsylvania song.
I think you mean Pennsylvania 123.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ed Begley goes around town to investigate Frankenstein at like
He's really into getting the facts and wants to research. And Goldblum is more just there. He's looking now. He's met a lady, so he's interested in that. And he's kind of embarrassed to be there doing the story anyway. So in the end, isn't he just hoping to find nothing? Isn't that like his thing? Like, well, because what's his thing?
I think he's just like, it's a paid vacation Europe.
Yeah.
And I saw a lady. She has a kid, but, you know, maybe this isn't for a long-term thing. So whatever, and we'll figure it out. And I can pawn this kid off of my weirdo friend. And also, he's on the phone with somebody at one point, and they're doing, like, a knocking. This
knock thing.
Given the most basic instructions as to what's... It's like a Curb Your Enthusiasm thing, but with two actors who are not prepared to ad-lib. This whole knocking, who is it? Oh, you didn't ask who is it? You can't come in right now. You should leave the room and then knock, and then I'll say who is it, and then... Oh, but you
never said who is it yet.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. This went on for so long.
Yeah, it's like a who's on first situation, but knocking on the door. Yeah, and it's... I giggled a little bit at this because I saw what they were doing, but then it goes on for too long. It just, the giggle that you were going to have is like, all right, that's done. Yep. And listen, I'm infamous. I am the joke killer. I can take a joke and I can just murder it. Cross the line too many times. And
wait, this
it's
is
not
you?
Funny.
This is you as a person right now?
Yes, I'm saying.
I didn't know this about you.
You don't know. You don't
You've
know
never
how
done
I can
this.
Murder a joke?
No.
In my family, I am one. Because, you know, we all have. To like to be funny, and so it's like a funny throwdown when we're all together.
Do you
and
want
I
to
will...
fight your family for you? Because that seems unfair. Your family seems like
it's not
a
aggressive.
Hard on you.
It's not aggressive, and it's my own doing, right? I just get so damn excited, and I don't want the joke to stop, and I murder it. There is pure bloodshed in this movie, for the jokes, for the gestures, for like we said, it really is a damn shame.
Yeah, and Jamie, I have a suggestion for you.
Please.
If this comes up again, your family starts to give you a hard time because you're just repeating a joke over and over again. You know what to do to break this up?
Yeah.
Bring in the fake hand, fake leg thing because I kind of enjoyed that. When Kramer showed up and did that, I was like, thank God someone else is here to basically tell them to stop what they're doing because I'll do something that's more entertaining.
Well, and that's why Kramer was just that kind of was just that kind of entertaining break to all of this when you would have enough of this silly banter. And again, it's not that these two actors didn't have a good
report.
No, they weren't exactly the most shining dynamic duo. But, you know, they're both fun.
Right. This movie made me, like, really dig and be like, is there a movie where Ed Begley Jr. and Jeff Goldblum are in it and it's competently directed? I couldn't find one.
Or maybe edited better. Like, maybe there was just some cleanup that needed to happen at the edit.
Because, again, I would have loved it if Jeff Goldblum showed up in Cat People as another guy who worked at the zoo. I'd be like, this is great.
He would be amazing. And
or
if
Ed Begley showed up in Into the Night or something like that. Because these are talented people in this movie. And I really feel like...
We can't say that enough.
I can't because it really...
That's why it's
like
more so
biggest
disappointing.
Waste of talent. Like I can't believe it. Talent. I don't know.
Don't know who this. Okay, we could beat this over the head that the wasted talent. But okay,
I'm
so
sorry.
You're right.
Yeah, I need to stop because can we get to a scene where I kind of laugh? I literally wrote my first laugh came when that fortune teller's head crashed through the table.
That's the note you mentioned that Kramer's using these hands and
fake hands
and he delivers a note to, I think it's Ed Bailey or Goldblum or one of the two. And the note is basically telling them to go see this psychic gypsy woman. Mm-hmm. And she is with her crystal ball on the table. Who is she? Do we know her? Is
no, I don't know her. Also, I thought at the end of this scene, the way the guy like props her back up, I was like, is she an animatronic? I really did. I was like, oh, this is just a robot that says the same thing. That's why late in this movie, when they went back to her and she was talking about other stuff, I went, no, this doesn't make any sense now.
Oh, right, right, right. Yeah, they do. And he props her up then, right? Goldblum does. She gives them a prediction of, she talks to them about a werewolf.
There's a werewolf.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. You need to go find this werewolf. I guess he lives in the woods.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then when they leave her, she just collapses.
Yeah, she just falls face down.
Basically crashes through the table. Mm-hmm. I genuinely chuckled a little bit.
Well, we find out that's how she ends all her readings. But
yes.
She's ended that one. Now Ed Bagley has his first dream of this is where he's laying in his bed. In his room,
I'm sorry, but first they went to go check on the werewolf, but it's just a dude
that's
making
time
with a lady?
Yeah, they went into the forest they went into the woods to find this werewolf. And there was definitely some rustling in the bushes, some moans. And they're like, this is it. We're finally on to something. We've got something here. And it was just... a guy and his lady getting it on.
When you say a guy, you mean writer director Rudy DeLuca.
Well, was that Mr. DeLuca yes. himself?
Mr. DeLuca himself. And at this point in the movie, I'm like, aren't you here to find Frankenstein? What is going on?
Well,
are you on
the trail of a werewolf? Any of it, I'm sure, would make for a good story. And in the end, it does.
Mr. Roper is going to be thrilled with anything.
Any
he
of
gets.
It, and all of it. They're going to follow.
If
all
it just
these
turns
leads.
Into a story about a town of nice people attending a wine festival,
that's
great.
What it could have ended up being.
Front page news.
Uh huh. For the whatever it was. I don't know the name of them.
But after this excitement, Ed Bagley's really exhausted and has to go to sleep.
Yes.
And this is when sexy Gina Davis shows up mm-hmm. in this movie. It's mm-hmm. taken a long time to get
it
here.
It does. You had mentioned to me when we talked about doing this movie that there's a scantily clad Gina Davis.
Yeah.
And I was watching this movie going, where's the scantily clad Gina Davis?
You're like, I saw her name.
Yeah, I did.
At the beginning with silence surrounding it. I'm waiting for Gina Davis.
Where's the GD? And she shows up and it's a low cut vampire outfit that she's got on. She looks beautiful. I will say that. Gorgeous, young, tall.
I mean, we do know that Dracula is the sexiest of the monsters.
Well, and it turns out, because as we said, well, I guess we'll reflect on that later. She's a nympho, right? Isn't that her problem?
Yeah. But why the Dracula-ness?
Because
it takes attention away from her nose.
Oh, yeah, because she had the nose
incredible.
Job.
Incredible. She's Gina Davis.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Yeah, but so that's part of her issue was because each of these characters are the werewolf, too, which we'll get into. The werewolf, not to give too much away, but the werewolf is actually the son of the gypsy.
Right.
And he
yes.
has a problem, a medical problem that makes all this hair grow on his face. We come to find all this out in the end, so we're kind of sneaking this this information out there, but whatever.
What happened with Frankenstein? He was brought back to life with like bolts and stuff.
Yeah, because he was in a terrible car accident or something. He was a guy that was in a car accident and he was so messed up looking that he was not pleasant to look at in the town. So
and if you're
going to
do this, if this is the big reveal of the end of your movie,
yeah.
is that Joe Bologna is really a hero and an amazing doctor who can bring people back to life and cure werewolf hair growth and give nose jobs. And I guess a full figure transformation to this mummy. Mm. Why does he act like a maniac at one point in this movie? And then at the end, he's the most level-headed human being in here.
You know, we didn't meet Joe Bologna yet, so hold on. Sorry, we'll get there. We're flying through this movie.
Well,
and we're all over the place, too. We're wrapping it up, but at the same time, we're still getting through it.
Oh, but sexy Gina Davis is there,
and he's dreaming, and he has, and she... She just looms over him at this point, right? She doesn't try to touch him or kiss him like she does all the other times. And he wakes up screaming and calls for Jeff Goldblum, who comes in, and something was in here. I don't know what it was. They look out the window, and this is where he's like, do you smell? It smells like perfume. And
oh, my God.
Jeff Goldblum.
And then I assume Rudy DeLuca goes, all right, Jeff Goldblum, head out of the room. Now, Ed, what I'd like you to do is, can you just like crawl around under the blankets for 10 or 20 minutes? We'll probably only use a minute straight of this.
But yeah, you're what? Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's not funny. No. It's not. He is under the blankets, crawling all over, muttering nonsense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we watch it all.
Mm-hmm. This is where, like you said, there's times when this was maybe something that the Michael Richards character could have done or to some capacity, but now we're making him do it, and it just doesn't fit this character, but we're doing it anyway because this is just a silly kind of movie, I guess, so we're just, anybody could be silly at any time.
Is this an editing thing where the person editing this movie cut it together and was like, I don't know, I got like 30 minutes here. This is not a full-length film. And then they look through and they're like, none of this is usable. And they just had to use long stretches of unfunny material.
Just the fact that they had to do that too. Loopy is Loopy is Carol Kane's character's name.
Her name's Loopy. Okay.
Yes, and so Carol Kane is the wife of the butler guy, and the butler guy has a thing that he calls everybody master, even when they don't want to be called master.
Right.
And his wife is always kind of in his face, going like, can I help you? Do you need more help? Can I help you? How about now? And he's always like, go away.
It's like a weird thing where I'm like, is she like sexually aggressive, or is she just trying to bother him, or does she genuinely just want to be helpful?
It's weird and awesome because it's Carol Kane doing it, right?
Yes,
so
exactly.
She's got this, like, she could be like, because she does when he leaves the room, she's like, I'll be here waiting for kisses. But it's so Carol Kane that she's crazy, right? And they're cleaning. And she's like,
every time I see Carol Kane on screen, I'm like, is this what she's like? Like, if you're married to Carol Kane, is she just constantly like, because I would love that, but also it could be a bit much.
Could it?
And also, I can't imagine a human being like that all the time, but I would welcome it too.
Yeah, she's pretty. Yeah, she, whenever she's on the screen, I'm smiling, even though she's not given much to do. But they have a scene right here where I just jotted down how they're cleaning together, and she keeps showing. He's cleaning glass, and she's like, you missed the spot. You missed the spot here. You missed the spot there.
And then he turns around. She's outside the window somehow, pointing at spots. And then she falls, I guess, off a balcony. I don't know how high up they are. This is where Ed Begley's like, you don't have to call me master. You can just call me Ed Begley. And he can't say those words.
He tries to say the guy's name, and he like says it all weird. And Ed Begley's like, just call me master. It's fine. Again, little funny chuckles where you're like, oh, that's funny. What is this? Michael Richard shows. Oh, this is Michael Richard does more tricks for Ed Begley. And then they run around.
Thank God. Thank God you wrote that. I wrote, Kramer does some Kramering, so I don't even know what that means.
He must have.
I didn't write details.
Again, he must. He's the whole time he's trying to do these funny things. Kramer's character, and he's always like, "He's good, he's good, he's good." And he sees Ed Begley as like his number one audience because Jeff Goldblum doesn't give him like.
I imagine Jeff Goldblum went up to Mr. DeLuca and was like, "I am.
I
done.
I do not want any scenes
I
with
do
that
not
guy.
Want to be on screen with him anymore."
Too much.
Also, I think he might be racist, so we'll find out later.
Years later. So yeah, they have some goofy thing where they run around each other in the castle. I kind of remember this, where they like chase each other.
He's chasing, like he's waiting. Ed Begley walks outside, and Kramer's like waiting around the corner, to like jump out.
Scare
and
him,
then
yeah.
You're right, he chases him, and then he's like, "Now you chase me."
Again, a weird scene that we don't need.
It goes on forever. The camera is a half mile away, just filming them running around.
And again, was this just happening over lunch one time, and the cameras rolled, and like you said, there wasn't enough footage, and they're like, let's keep that silly shit. It's a goofy movie, right? Let it be goofy. This is also where, again, we get this information that, like, what do we care? What are we going to do with it? The mayor now finds this VHS video, the same video that the editor was watching in the beginning of the two guys that find Frankenstein behind the door. And he brings it to the chief of police, and he's like, "We gotta hide this." The chief of police says, "We must destroy yes. this video." But again, you're like, "Why? That none of that matters. This is
no,
it doesn't.
It's a VHS tape. Like, this was recorded off of TV. This was broadcast somewhere. This is not the one and only tape that exists on the planet of this event."
Yeah, and it's just goofy that again,
why can I ask you a question about the plot of this movie right now?
Okay.
Why does Ed Begley Jr. decide to go to a sanatorium and this goes on forever? With him then returning with Jeff Goldblum, he pretends to be a patient. What is any of this?
This is when he does a little research, right? Let's see. And he's trying to go see the doctor. Who is
the doctor? Joe Bologna?
Yes, Joe Bologna is this doctor.
Oh.
And that is why he's going here. He's trying to see this doctor. And
so Joe Bologna doesn't live in the basement of the castle?
No.
Oh, God. No. All right. Geography is way off with this movie.
Maybe that's where he does some of his strong work. No, and I thought the basement, I thought all that happened in the basement of
the sanatorium?
Yeah. But maybe
because
I'm wrong.
Gina Davis is chained to the wall in a basement, so I assume they were in that same castle.
I don't. He might do his experiments with those people in the castle. Okay. I'll give you that, and then maybe he also
labs?
Does. Yes, because he's been sort of banished, the doctor, and
all right.
can't.
That's
be
where he
seen.
Does his night work.
Yes,
in the castle.
Exactly.
But then by day, he's a regular
That's why
doctor
crazy
at the
hair.
Sanatorium.
Crazy hair okay. is when he's in the castle, and then smooth at the sanatorium.
Wow.
Okay. Okay.
Jeez.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Begley tries to get to see the doctor, and he can't. Nobody will let him in, so he goes to. Goldblum and is like, "I think I'm on to something. It's this doctor, but they won't yeah. let me see him, so you have to help me sneak in." And they have this again, it's a little bit funny at first when they're
it
trying
is.
To sneak in to the hospital
yes.
and Goldblum's eyes get really big and they do this thing where they go up and down, and then Begley just keeps doing it, and he's like, "Well, I'm just so used to going up," because they're trying, he's like, "Why did you do that? You don't have to keep hiding."
There is a great bit of physical comedy when Ed Begley Jr. is propped up on the wall to look over.
Oh, yes.
And a couple of nuns walk by.
Yes.
And he just, like, casually, he's perched on the wall by his elbows. And he's just, like, whistling,
uh-huh.
standing there.
And these two
I
old
really
village
found
ladies
that
walk
great.
By,
I was
yeah.
like, wow, okay, this guy can do physical comedy because it only lasted for, what, 5 seconds?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Perfect. Hit cut, move on.
Yeah. And then I don't totally get this. So they sneak him. Goldblum has the idea that we'll sneak you in.
Yes.
And then say that you're trying to escape.
Right.
And then he gets in to get some information. And
yep.
yeah, they take him in right away, like thinking that he was one of the new patients and get back to uh-huh. work or whatever. And then to get him out, they pretend that he's trying to, same kind of thing. They pretend that he's
yeah.
trying to sneak in, and so then
Did
they kick him out.
Get any information? Like, what? These scenes happen almost back to back. It's like he breaks in and then out immediately. I didn't know if there was any information gleaned
well,
from this.
Then they also are motivated to sneak in because they see the police officer and the mayor, the chief of police
yeah,
and the mayor
okay.
go inside,
yes, you're right.
and they're like, something's up in there.
All right,
and they
okay.
do see them talking to. I think he sees. Them,
Joe Bologna.
Yes, and there he sees that the doctor—they're all in cahoots, so he knows something is up, right? And he thinks.
Sadly, Joe Bologna—I looked it up—he died almost right after we talked about probably Blame It on Rio.
Aww.
And he and his see, I got so distracted at this point in the movie. I was so distracted because I did like a Joe Bologna deep dive. He and his wife seems to have a wonderful relationship.
Oh, I bet they did.
Where they wrote plays together that they then performed.
Wow.
And like, yeah, it seemed really, really wonderful. And I don't know.
I hope she met him when
he lived a great life.
I hope she met him when he had that haircut from that picture you sent me.
Oh,
were they together a long time?
I hope so. Yeah, they were together for a very long time.
Oh, that is very nice. I'm good. Glad.
And you meet that man looking like that? I'm sorry.
You hold
no
on.
Going back.
You hold on
like,
tight. Yeah.
Yes, you hold on as tight as you can. You grab that chest hair and you don't let go.
I do not. Oh my god, I just snorted. All right, Doctors Joe Bologna, they think he's killing his patients. And Joe Bologna, the doctor, has a relationship with the butler, the servant, the Carol Kane's husband. Right? Because they have a connection.
I don't quite understand what the relationship
me neither.
Is. Like,
they've been friends for 20 years. At one point, he says, don't call me master. We've been friends for 20 years.
Exactly. And I'm like, what are you doing? Did you go to high school together? Like, are they just like tidying up your lab for you?
No, I think that they work with him and with the experiments and everything. And they've known each other all this time, right? Like the assistants that happened for the... For the
whatever. I am almost, Jamie, this is how bad my notes are. I'm almost at the end of my notes, and I know there's a lot of this movie to go.
Oh yeah, there is. Oh boy, there is. We're gonna get through it though. We will.
That's fine. I mean, a lot of it is them just like
this is
creeping
funny.
Around a bit. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So yes, a lot of this now is it's all these like each of the characters having their own little discoveries. So again, Bagley, we get him out, and they have their own theory. We get him out of the hospital or whatever it is that they found
sanatorium.
The doctor. Thank you, sanatorium. Thank you.
Let's be proper.
My bad.
We don't want to insult the fine people of Transylvania.
And we don't know any of the characters' names, but that's okay.
When you put legitimate stars in your movie. I'm not going to know their names.
Well, or we just know. So the mayor and the chief of police are going to find out. The doctor claims he has gotten rid of all of these patients. He's killed them all off, these weary patients, and it's been taken care of. I have the paperwork. So they go to, I guess, investigate one of the coffins of one of the patients that are supposed to be dead. And inside the coffin, do you remember this, is like a mannequin?
Don't remember any of this. And I was doing my Joe Bologna research at this moment.
Probably. Because, again, they're doing their own research, and they open up a coffin, and it's like a mannequin. And the principal, or the what's his name, says, oh, a lady doll. It's a lady doll. And then he says, you can put that in my office. And they're like,
what?
Were
you
really
saying, like, Ferris Bueller's principal? Yes. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, what did I say?
No, you were like, the principal said this. Sorry. No, that's great, because I knew who you were talking about.
I know, but our audience is probably like, what the hell?
And then there's a principal
about
shows up, a lady.
I am talking about this movie as if our listeners have seen it too.
There's no way to talk about
this
movie.
There's no other way, yeah. No. And it's not that I recommend that they do see it, but I don't know. So yeah, I thought that was funny when he calls it a lady doll and then he asks for it to go back to his office. He's like, you know, because it's evidence.
It does sound like something Jeffrey Jones would say.
Yes, yes.
You're like, is this lady doll underage? If so, bring her to my office.
Just that he calls it a lady doll. All right. There's more crazy Kramer. This is when he's got those weird glasses. And he's
I literally don't remember any of this. I don't know that I watched this movie now. I was with you until this point. Until Lady Doll, I was on board. Okay, now I'm like, maybe I turned
funny.
It off.
Lady Doll's funny. And then when Bagley's back at the house, there's a picture frame. And behind the... I think it's a picture frame. And then behind the picture frame, Kramer pops out and he's got those weird glasses that look like eyes on them. Now Bagley is doing his own kind of investigating around the castle and he snoops into like the library area. And this is when Gina Davis comes out at him and starts. She can't keep her hands off of him. So she's smooching him and kissing him and saying like that. You know, he's just, he's so wonderful, he turns her on and she just wants to, you know, she's a vampire, so, and she just wants to love him so much.
And he's really into it. To the point where this is great. Let me just listen. I love it when he's like, knock, knock, knock. Oh, there's somebody at the door.
He goes to answer, somebody is at the door, as they're about to really kind of make a connection.
Yeah.
And, at the door is Michael Richards riding one of those.
this was supposed to be a scene where he did not appear.
Wait, we have to say,
and he just showed up.
He was riding. What is it? Unmechanical. It is, right? You know, do they even have those anymore? I was thinking because outside of grocery stores where you'd put the quarter in and you can ride like the horse, kids, I hate to sound like an old lady, but kids these days don't do that, right? Do they even have them?
I don't think they have those anymore.
I used to love that. I used to bother the shit out of my mother in front of the grocery store so I could ride this weird little horse and cart thing that would just kind of go back and forth.
I saw it on Transylvania 65,000.
No, I didn't. But that is what when he knocks on the door, Michael Richards is riding one of these things.
But why?
I don't know. Because he's always trying to, I guess his character's thing is he's always trying to get a laugh. He is the ultimate joke killer.
Do you think he's like, these guys are from a paper. This could be my big break.
I don't know.
They might do a story on me.
No, I think he just likes to be entertaining. Okay.
But this is when, after he sees this, he closes the door, turns around, Geeta Davis is gone.
And she's disappeared, right. She's disappeared.
Do we go to the lab now for the
Yes.
Kind of reveal that we think Joe Bologna is a bad guy?
Well, we know he's the doctor, the crazy doctor.
Right.
The Jekyll Hyde, you know, can't...
This is a
unhinged.
Tour de force.
And see, this is why I think he's been banished to work at the sanatorium as a doctor there. But where he does his best experimenting is, as you said, in the basement, in the lab, in the castle. Because when he comes back here, we find out he's in cahoots with the butler or whatever, Carol Kane and Loopy and her husband. And they take him back in this underground secret way to get to his little laboratory. And this is when he's like, I'm home. But he starts to do this thing, and then we know is his thing, where he messes up his hair, and he talks like crazy, and he yells at people, and he's angry. And he's here to... He goes on right now about avenging his father's name because his father got the reputation for bringing herpes to Sicily.
Yep.
This whole thing he goes into. And again, sometimes you're like, this is crazy. This is funny. And then you're like, this is too much. It's too much.
It's way too much. Yes. Because just a little bit, I'm like, this seems like a Joe Bologna one-man show right now.
Yeah.
This is all he's doing. He introduces us to different monsters, or maybe that's later. I don't even know. He just runs around his lab.
He just goes crazy.
Acts like a maniac.
He spits. Does he spit on something?
Well, he's spitting all... Well, probably while he's talking. Yeah, he does spit when, you know, when his father has
introduced
herpes.
About it.
Yeah. But the main thing is that his Frankenstein monster has escaped.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then this is where we then have the next day and... Jeff Goldblum's
he's
on
having
a picnic.
A picnic
with this woman.
Yeah,
and
they're
with
off
this
at the
woman
park.
And her child. I guess Ed Begley is still like kind of in vampire mode where he's like, there's a lot of stuff going on here. I'm just going to wander around in the woods and look for stuff.
I think that he is looking maybe for the.
The little girl?
No, not yet.
Not
yet. Because the little girl doesn't get lost quite yet, does she?
I'm sorry. I can't. No. My notes are just words now that make no sense.
Okay. So Goldblum's having a picnic in the park. Begley shows up to interrupt it. And they have some kind of weird fight where they kind of choke each other at the park. Do you remember that?
Nope. Nope, not at all. I was not paying attention. I'm sorry. I think I left the room for long stretches.
Okay.
I was done. Jamie, I was totally out by this point. This is when I texted you and I was like, this is a Bolero situation where I'm like, you're going to have to take over because I don't know that I can watch the end. I did watch the end.
I still don't
know. I have notes, kind of.
Begley finds Frankenstein and freaks out.
Oh, it
and
is
then he
a
go-
freak
oh, yeah, and then
the
he
ages.
Goes into the
this
water.
Is- Yeah. This is the clip I sent you of the subtitles where it says crying and screaming
and
Ed Begley in the arms of this Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Then Frankenstein lets go of him and he walks into water to about knee deep, and the camera zooms in on his face where he goes hata 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 and sticks his tongue out. And I'm like, this is not
well. And there's Kramer? A hand that reaches up from the water and is grabbing his crotch. Did you see yes. that? Yes.
That's yes. what causes these facial reactions. Expressions.
Right. Right. Yeah. But so he has both seen the Frankenstein and then been attacked in the water. Is it Goldblum that sees the werewolf?
Goldblum meets the wolf man.
Uh-huh. And they have a weird fight where basically the wolf man like hugs Goldblum really yes. hard for a while and swings yeah. him around like you know when you ask somebody to crack your back and they yep. just kind of that's it's like the werewolf is trying to crack Goldblum's back. They kind of fight but not really again because this isn't supposed to be a scary kind of movie. I said, werewolf man can growl. I don't know. That was my notes. Oh my God. These are the details that I couldn't miss.
Your notes
are
actually better than mine. Mine just says they meet Frankenstein and Wolfman, and then the cops show up.
Well, wait, you forgot another guy that's just thrown in the mix.
Please.
Twisto? Do you remember Twisto?
Oh, my God. Later on, when Twisto's in the dungeon, and he's like, I don't know, he just stepped on me. I'm like, what the fuck is that thing? Because I Twisto. Did not see that part.
Because we see Twisto here. He's actually the guy that was in the water grabbing his cojones. Because the doctor says to Twisto, why would you do that, Twisto?
So do we ever find out what the deal with Twisto is?
I'm assuming some spine injury or kind of.
Okay, all right.
And, yeah.
It's not explained. It's not like Joe Bologna at the end isn't like, oh, also Twisto.
I think he does because there's that whole back and forth that they do at the end at the wine festival when Ed Begley's in the crowd and he's kind of feeding the story of who everybody is
yeah.
to the crowd. And I think they might get into...
Oh, Twisto's brought up?
Maybe. I didn't write it down, though. Now,
I'm sorry, I was just distracted by the 20 people that attended Wine Festival with the banner that just says Wine Festival on it. Not Transylvania, you know, 80th
We're
anniversary.
We're keeping things simple here on this set, okay?
Wine Festival spelled out in like red duct tape on a banner.
Keeping things simple. That's all. They're not really in Transylvania. Right?
What?
I don't know.
Jamie, what? This was not shot on location in Transylvania?
Goldblum gets thrown in jail.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was fighting.
For talking about a wolf man.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's
probable cause.
While he's in jail in this one cell that the jailer, the guard tells him, like, whoa, you Americans have a saying, till the cows come home, or something like that. Like, you're never going to get out of here, basically.
I'm pretty sure Transylvania, they are called jailers, so that's
okay.
fair.
Okay, so I was right. Goldblum's lovely girlfriend, the blonde, shows up, and Teresa, and she's got this thing now she does through the rest of this
movie.
Oh,
you did write her name down.
Oh, I didn't. No, that's the actress's
name. Oh, that's
you told
her
name. Earlier. I just somehow remembered it.
That's
she has
great.
This thing now that she does throughout the rest of the movie because she kind of is a pseudo hero in the movie where she's yeah. always got a glass bottle, and if she just breaks it over somebody's head, that will solve the problem. So she breaks the bottle over the jailer's
Again,
head.
Again, it's a wine festival.
Right?
There's
I'm not
wine
saying
everywhere.
That she didn't have reason to have the bottle. But she frees Goldblum so that
yes.
because now she's pissed because she's like, where are the cops? And Goldblum's like, or maybe it was Ed Begley that was like, the cops are all at
nope.
the wine festival.
It's Goldblum. I was
pissed.
Paying attention
yeah.
again. Yeah. And she's like, shouldn't they be looking for my kid? She's
yeah.
like, I'm going to go down to that wine festival.
I'm
going to bust
piece
some
of my
heads.
Mind. Yeah. And she does. yes. Meanwhile, the little girl is playing cards with Frankenstein. They're playing poker together.
Yep.
And, Carol Kane and her husband are out to try to find Frankenstein because that's the mission the doctor has put them on.
Also, the doctor, we do see that Ed Begley is in the doctor's dungeon strapped to a table. And I like
oh,
how
yeah.
Joe Bologna walks over. He's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? Like,
yeah.
what is going on here now?
Yeah.
Like, he's lost control of his monsters. And He doesn't know what to do with Ed Begley Jr. because he's not really a bad guy, so he's not going to do anything bad with him.
Right.
But he doesn't want to be found out for helping the people of this town.
I don't know.
There's a lot, because it appears that off camera, again, we saw plenty of scenes that don't need to be in this movie, but apparently off camera, he and Ed Begley Jr. must have a very long conversation about what he's been doing for these people, because the reveal at the end, Ed Begley's like, oh, yeah, yeah, he and I talked. That's why I'm here. He brought me.
Yeah. That we don't see. We're not privy to that for any scene.
Because when Ed Begley's strapped to the table and Joe Bologna's like, I don't know what to do with this dude, Gina Davis walks out of the shadows and is like, I think he's super hot.
She's still chained to the wall, right?
Yes. Though,
at this point, yeah. She's like, I want him. Let me be with him.
Yeah.
Right?
And Joe Bologna's like, I think we've heard enough from you. Mm-hmm. Go back to your corner.
Mm-hmm.
Frankenstein also at this point is chloroformed by the butler in a weird fight scene.
Yes, they find him with the little girl and they get the little girl and they chloroform the Frankenstein and bring him back.
Right.
Mission sort of complete.
I don't know what the other wine festivals in Transylvania have been like, but this is the one you want to go to.
Is it?
Like, this is the one. I don't really know what goes on at a wine festival usually, but the one where real-life monsters are revealed, that's the one you want to attend.
I will say.
That's what's going on here.
There's a lot of dancing that's happened when we first arrive, right? It's just.
It almost seems like a parade, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, because it's a lineup of dancers, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the dancers on the stage.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I forgot about that. Uh-huh. Yes.
And while we're at the festival, where did what's her name want to go? She wanted to come and give those cops a piece of her mind for being there, so she does. And then all of a sudden, there's a big scream from one of the wine festival patrons, and Frankenstein has arrived. He's here now at the festival, and he's carrying the little girl who, just before, in a scene just before when she's with Frankenstein, she says to him, I'm getting sleepy. He has not hurt her. They have been having a grand time. She literally falls asleep in his arms, but he's carrying the girl, and she looks like she's possibly dead. And
it has been a big day for this girl.
Yeah, yeah, and she's exhausted.
She ran away. She's like, I gotta have a picnic with a strange, gangly weirdo.
They just arrived yesterday, her and her mom, for wherever they're from. But now
she goes in the woods. There's also, I love it earlier, there's a scene where she's in the woods and she's like, oh my God, it's Frankenstein. And he just puts his hand over her mouth. And then they just go off together and have a great time playing cards in a basement somewhere.
He's giving her piggyback rides in the park. Yep. It's adorable.
Yeah.
I want more of that, actually. No.
Yes.
Frankenstein's there now, and they kind of put him up on a stake, and they're going to burn him, right? Okay, so now they're in the town square, and Frankenstein's in some deep shit because the people of this festival are not fans of him. And he's been hidden away for so long. And even though it turns out he didn't hurt the little girl, they still think he's a monster. And they're poised to burn him alive. But Goldblum and Begley are here to save the day, right?
Yes.
And Begley is pretending to be an audience member with some information that he will just shout or leading questions, if you will, that Goldblum can answer to sort of explain what's been going on in this town, which I don't know that I can explain.
I was going to say, if you could explain that, that would be great. But I don't know what's going on. You said that Frankenstein was a car accident victim.
Yeah, each of these monsters.
Quote unquote monsters.
Right.
Who's the real monster, Jamie?
Exactly.
I know the answer. It's Jeffrey Jones.
It's Jeffrey Jones and whoever it is that's playing the police officer.
Oh, I meant real life. Jeffrey Jones is the monster. Wow.
He does play a lot of bad guys.
He does play a lot of bad guys in movies and in his personal life, too.
Just saying. The ruler, the mayor, and the chief of police have been wanting to cover up these eccentric people in the town that they've had. Now, they thought the doctor, quote, took care of these people by killing them. But the doctor's been playing with them and doing experiments with them. But each of them...
playing with them.
Playing
That's
with
a
them.
Way to put it.
That
sure.
is a way to put it. Yeah, he's been experimenting with them as he is this, you know, genius of a doctor. So, yes, the Frankenstein guy is revealed he had a bad car accident and was disformed, and but he was the town, he was hard to look at, so I guess he became property of the doctor. He became property. The werewolf is really the psychic son, as we said, and he has a condition where he grows all this hair, and Joe Bologna has actually helped him somewhat. The doctor's actually helped him. He shows him, look, I've tried some electrolysis and it works. And there's this blank patch on his chest that's totally hairless.
You missed the best line when he shows him that patch. Werewolf puts his shirt down and turns around and is like, I can go to the beach now. It's pretty good. Pretty fun. Every now and then there's some good lines in this movie.
Here's a name that I don't know if you knew. The Mummy. Who
I was getting to this.
Remember her name?
No.
Bazonkas?
Oh, when she says, I have bazonkas.
I thought that was her name.
I did not. No, no, no.
All I wrote was bazonkas and mummy. I was like, oh, that's funny that was her name. Right. But you're right. And she does get excited about it and calls her boobs bazonkas.
This was a question I was going to ask you because in today's day and age, I don't want to be insensitive. But did this mummy have a sex change? Is that what we were meant to believe?
Oh, I thought
because they call her transvestite or something. It's something to that degree.
Okay,
He's like, and I reveal she's a sexy lady, and she's like, oh my god, and then looks down, and she's like, I had no idea.
Yeah,
you were gonna give me these.
Maybe okay. That adds another twist to it.
I think that's it.
Oh no.
there's more monsters.
Then there's this where. The servant and Carol Kane have a son that can't stand up, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Where did this kid come from? And did they know it was their child? Was he taken from them?
This is weird, too. And then he can stand up straight at the end? I don't know.
Yes.
But it's the first time we're introduced to him.
Yes.
And Bagley ends up with Gina Davis. In the end, this is where my notes too. I was like, all right, that's why. Like I said, I'm like bazonkas, mummy. Oh, that must have been her name.
Yep, that's where Gina Davis and Ed Begley Jr. One of the best lines of the movie is like, you can take those out of your mouth. You know why? Because you're not a real vampire. And I was like, all right, okay, I guess. But what is this meant to mean?
Well,
why was she?
Because
she had a nose job.
Because
she was shunned from society.
They were all now part of this underground monster connection. I don't know. But now the festival, there's a celebration. It's all revealed. Mummy is not burned, or the mummy. Frankenstein is not burned. The truth comes out, and the townspeople now want to celebrate these quote monsters. And the wine festival continues with joyous dancing, and there's photos captured, and our
oh, these newspaper articles.
That's
Yikes-o-rama.
Yikes-o-rama, he says.
When it shows Carol Kane and her husband, and it's like, we never had a good hump or whatever. Like, what is going on in this?
I know.
Kramer's like a super successful comedian now.
Yeah, yeah. That's what the headline is. Yeah, we get a little summary of everyone at the end. And it's given to us by way of like a newspaper article.
I hated this.
Oh boy.
I hated.
Hated.
This movie. This was my Bolero.
This was your Bolero.
This was really difficult. I did not think, as the names were coming up, it filled me with such hope.
Yeah.
And immediately it was just dashed it when is, I was like, oh, these people are given nothing to do.
It is a bit of a letdown. I agree. And it is. It is a bummer because not even with the bit of the storyline, you could see how they could, like you said, churn it, edit it, write it a little bit sharper and give these actors something to do. And this is kind of a clever, fun movie, right?
Yep.
But it's just left kind of murky and you're not enjoying it the way you want to be. I think I didn't hate it as much as you did because even though the cast wasn't given much to do, I just enjoyed seeing all of them. I always enjoy seeing a Goldblum. I love seeing a Carol Kane.
So there was
enough of all of that to keep me in a, well, this is nice kind of feel.
Okay.
And there were moments when, you know, you just recognize like a dumb 80s comedy for what it is, but this is a really bad. And I think what we keep saying, what we could boldface and italicize, is that it's this talent that's so underused.
Right.
And it, if it was a lesser cast, maybe it would be a worser movie, but it might even be a little more forgivable in its
badness.
Oh, it would
be 100% more forgivable.
No, it's disappointing, but this is not the movie that you want it to be with the cast that it has. And I don't think either one of us are highly recommending it. And we were on quite a streak of movies, but that doesn't mean they're going to end. It doesn't mean that. And I have, okay, so I have three recommendations.
Wow.
But I haven't seen any of them.
I have one recommendation that I have seen. It's called That Old Photo of Joe Bologna.
That's a great recommendation. You have to post that for this movie on our socials. What is your one recommendation, by the way?
My recommendation, it's a movie I actually saw. It's from last year, 2023. And I hesitated watching this for a little while. I heard it was okay, but the title is so dumb. Aww. It is called The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster. But it's a Frankenstein riff, and it takes place like in the projects, and it's this very smart black girl who's in the projects, and her brother is killed in sort of like gang violence, or maybe he's a bystander or something like that, and she basically brings him back to life as like a Frankenstein monster, and he takes vengeance on the bad guys in the projects, and he takes vengeance on the cops and stuff, and it's kind of shockingly violent at times, and it's not as funny as I thought it might have been. It's pretty serious. It has a pretty good message, and it's a real nice send up of like Frankenstein.
What's
movies.
It called?
So people,
no, tell the us the terrible name again.
The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster.
Yeah. Well. And it's not,
not a great title, but a real, real fun
movie.
But a
real good, all right.
Yeah.
That's a good recommendation.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it's on Netflix.
Awesome. And it's 2015?
2023, last year.
Wow, look at me, way behind. Yeah, okay.
That's all right.
So I looked up.
hey, maybe I saw some of these movies.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping, maybe. So I was looking up like monster movies, just like Googled that. And I got this Monster Complex. I'm going to send you the link. It's the top 31 hilarious vampire movies. And three of them I want to see. So I'm going to recommend these three.
Let's do it.
And none of them are from the 80s. One of them is A Vampire in Brooklyn. Have you seen this one with Eddie Murphy?
I've seen
Angela
that with
Bass?
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, directed by Wes Craven. Sounds so
great.
Fun.
It's not great. It's not great.
But it's not great. Okay. What about Vamps with Alicia Silverstone? Have you seen that? 2012? Alicia Silverstone and another friend? Yes.
Vamps?
Vamps.
Yeah. Whoa, no. I saw a movie called Vamp.
Nope.
From the 80s, but no,
no,
not
this
Vamps.
Is not an
80s. I've never even heard of that.
It's from 2012. Wait.
Let me see.
Blood-sucking party girls find their destinies at stake when one falls for the son of a vampire hunter and the other encounters a long-lost love. A 2012 horror comedy film starring Alicia Silverstone and Kristen Ritter.
This seems like something. Sigourney Weaver's in it?
No, not Sigourney Weaver. Did I say Sigourney Weaver?
No. She is in it. Sorry, I'm looking it up right now.
Oh, is she?
Alicia Silverstone, Kristen Ritter, Sigourney Weaver. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've not seen this.
All right, well, I'll throw that one at you.
I'm going to watch it.
The other one is from 2015. I think that's why I was shouting that 2015 at you. Blood-sucking Bastards. Have you seen this?
I don't know.
With everybody's favorite Pedro Pascal. Everybody loves that guy.
I don't. All those Star Wars nerds love that dude. What's it? Blood-sucking Bastards?
Yeah.
This is all the dumb stuff I watch. I was so excited. I'm like, oh, Jamie's going to recommend vampire movies. I'm sure I've seen them. No.
Good.
Not at all.
See?
So I can't wait.
And I haven't either. So don't worry about it.
Oh, my God. All right. This is great. Wow. All right. So maybe not a great movie, but some amazing recommendations that people should check out. Maybe. We don't know. We haven't seen them. Except for Vampire in Brooklyn. Don't watch it. It's not that great. All right. So, Jamie, we just finished March, which I think I called it Monster March.
Yeah.
We're about to enter April. I cannot guarantee that this will be a recurring theme, but for this month, it's all monkey movies. And I understand, all you science zoo nerds listening, I understand that a monkey and an ape are two different things. But whatever. For the purposes of our podcast, they're the same.
Right.
So we are going to give you a new monkey movie, kind of new, every Friday in April.
Ooh.
Two of these are going to be brand new episodes.
Right.
One, I am going to put up Going Ape again, just for fun.
Because it's a fun one.
In case you're new to the show, we covered Going Ape, which starred Danny DeVito.
And Tony Danza.
Oh, okay. It's like, wait, am I supposed to finish that? Sorry. And Tony Danza. So we will put that up later.
Yeah.
But first up, we're going to release our patrons only episode on Monkey Shines, where a man who is wheelchair bound because he has no use of his arms and legs gets a helper monkey that then
murderous helper monkey,
really possessive of him.
Yeah,
very jealous. Yeah. Doesn't like his girlfriend. Doesn't like his mom.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't like
bad from bad
his
to worse.
Friend. Yes,
mm-hmm.
If you want to watch a tiny monkey, like when the monkey's like going to try and shave him with his razor. It's one of, like, this is one of the funniest scary movies you'll ever see. I think earlier I mentioned how Jeff Goldblum and Emma Thompson had the best sex scene we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
The Monkey Shines Paralyzed Man sex scene is pretty good. Where she's like, you can use your face, but that's about it. Like, it's really good. So that'll be first, but in 2 weeks, we will talk to you again, and we'll be talking about a movie called Going Bananas. I'm scared, Jamie, based on what we just watched. I'm kind of afraid of this movie.
Oh, you need to start embracing things more. Embrace.
It's got Dom DeLuise.
There's a Dom DeLuise.
Who? Jimmy J.J. Walker mm-hmm. from Good Times
mm-hmm.
is in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the movie's about.
Well, there's probably some sort of ape or monkey involved, okay. as is titular for the month, right?
All right,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, Dom DeLuise, I always thought I liked him, but the way he's been seen on this podcast, like, I'm in Cannonball Run, and we did not love Cannonball Run.
No.
Right?
But that's it. That's the only
was that the only
Dom
thing
we got,
okay.
right?
Okay. Yeah.
Because I like a Dom DeLuise.
Yeah, I like a Dom DeLuise.
I even like his son. Who's that? 21 Jump Street?
Oh, yeah.
Guy?
Yeah.
Let's call him Tim DeLuise.
No, he's got a better name. Danny DeLuise? No.
I hope so. But anyway, I like Dom DeLuise, too. It really, like, Cannonball Run put such a weird sour taste in my mouth mm-hmm. for so many of these people. Except for, what's his name, that drunken fool?
Dean Martin.
I still haven't watched any of those
Christmas specials.
Christmas specials.
You need to. All right.
I swear, we got to do just a Dean Martin Christmas drunken special.
I'm not afraid.
In December one time.
Yeah.
All right.
Dean December. I like it. Yeah. All right. So going
Dean
bananas.
December. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Going Bananas will be in 2 weeks time, but next week you can hear Monkey Shines. So for those of you who were members of our Patreon, you've heard it before. Listen again for everybody
it's
else.
It's a fun
brand
one.
New.
It's a fun
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, everybody. Well. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you again in 2 weeks. This has gone so much longer than I thought. I thought it would be like a 50-minute
We did talk
maybe.
About it oddly, though. I did. We kind of blew all over
yeah,
it. So, but, yeah, we got her done. You know, at the end of the day, we got her done. All right.
Great. Watch for Jamie on her new blue-collar comedy tour. All right, everybody. We will talk to you again in 2 weeks. Until then, have a great 2 weeks.
Goodbye.
I guess.
There we go. That's the count.
Right?
Dracula the count. Is a count.
Yeah. Oh. Hi.
Do we even, I don't even know if we need to say any. Is there any banter that we need to get through before we start to talk about this? Oh, you know what? I do have one thing, and I do not bring our podcast into my daily life.
You don't burn it into or bring it to no, your
I
daily
don't bring
life.
It okay. into my daily okay. life. First okay. of all, I'm always kind of embarrassed. Like,
why?
If people find out I have one, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a. Mm-hmm.
That's something I do.
And then if they're like, oh, I listened to it, it's pretty good, I'm like, oh, okay, all right.
You
can
get
we
a
just
little
talk
shy.
About something different?
Yeah, you want to move on.
Yes.
Why are you embarrassed?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Do you
I don't
not
know
like
I'm saying
this work? Do you not think
time?
It's honest work here that we do? I believe in it. I believe in it. I mean, I don't shout it from the rooftops, but at the same time, if people want to know about it, I think we're a good time.
No, I
hence
agree.
The it's titular.
It's just.
Are you shy? Are you?
I'm not sure what it is. I don't know. I'm kind of like, I don't know what it is. I don't want to call it embarrassment, but when somebody's like, hey, I heard you have a podcast. What's it about? I'm not more than like 5 words in until I'm like, oh, they're not interested in this at all.
Oh.
Like they're, no, this isn't, it has nothing to do with what I do for a living or anything
sure,
like that.
Sure.
And especially if my students stumble upon this,
yeah, I guess yeah,
I'm just like, yeah. I am so sorry because you are way too young to understand anything that's going on. I had a student not too long ago who was talking to me about Tron. And we were talking for maybe 30 seconds. And I was like, oh, he's talking about the 2010 like Tron sequel, and he has no idea that there was an original movie that was really bad.
He should listen to your podcast and listen to the episode where you cover it. He won't even have to watch it.
You know what? I should start to put that in my syllabus.
I think you should.
Okay.
I think you should be proud. I think this should give your students, should let your students see that, you know, you're more than just the professor.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, I'm a pretty great professor.
Well,
I'm pretty cool dude, if I must say so.
I believe
so
it. I believe it. But they could see you as even more cool.
All right. Okay. You know what? I'm going to put
it
in the syllabus.
I think you should have some pride in it.
Yeah. I'm just going to be like, oh, guys, in case you didn't notice in the syllabus, there's this QR code. Just like point your phones at it and take a picture. Immediately, they're subscribed to it.
Yeah.
It makes our numbers jump.
It's wonderful, right? And
it'll be all so mysterious
to them. It'll be all, because first of all, they're like, a podcast that lasts for almost 2 hours? What are these two must get in depth about life and revelations. Right. And no, we just freaking talk the inside outside of, you know, some 80s
whatever
movies.
This movie was. But anyway, that wasn't even what I was talking about.
No,
what
way
I'm
off
saying,
topic here. We're tap dancing. It's a Thursday night recording. We're all over the place.
My youngest and I,
we
read a series of books.
Mm-hmm.
They are called, are you familiar, you deal with children, are you
I
familiar
do.
With the Humphrey series of books?
Tell me of Humphrey. Is he an elephant?
Nope, he's a hamster.
Oh, huh?
I'm going to say the opposite of an elephant is a hamster.
Just about.
So he's a hamster, but he's like a classroom hamster.
Okay.
Anyway, we've been reading these for like a year. There's like 12 of these, 14 of these, whatever. Each one's like 15, 20 chapters long. So I read a chapter a night.
Sweet.
The thing I don't do is I don't do voices.
Oh. And wait, you do voices on the show like constantly.
That's kind of what I'm getting to here.
Oh, God.
I don't do voices for characters at all. Suddenly, we're like 10 books into this series, a new guinea pig is introduced, and it's a female guinea pig.
Is it from Britland?
No.
Oh,
but
I thought you were going to do.
So he's introduced this guinea pig, and I'm like, oh, hi, Humphrey.
Oh.
How's it going? I'm doing this for like 2 books straight. And Quinn finally goes, why are you talking like that? And I'm like, well, she's a southern hamster. And she goes, how do you know that? Like, well, I don't know that. I just thought it was
that energy about her.
I thought it was fun. And she goes, don't do that anymore.
Oh.
I don't like that.
You're scaring her.
Okay.
Well, Well, maybe your accents are more for adult audiences.
I guess so. And then I'm like, well, what am I supposed to say? Oh, hello, Humphrey. And she just nods like, yeah, just do it that.
Well, that's just how you had been doing all the other characters. You should have broke her and been like, no, join me. Join me with the...
Yeah. I should have been doing them from the start,
from the get-go, right? Again, you've got a gift. Yeah. Another thing, you've got to get. We are discovering all your insecurities tonight on this call or on this recording. And
it's taken so long to get here.
I'm glad you're going to feel so free and light at the end of this.
Maybe. I will. I swear to God, I'm making a QR code. I'm putting it on my syllabus.
I totally think you should. Yeah. Because I do think that your students would be, some of them might be like, what is this bullshit? You know, and some of them might be like, this guy's fascinating. Because you are. Mm-hmm. And then to listen to our stuff, I think they would think they were pretty rad.
And some of them will be like, this is a lot of ammunition I could give to the dean to get this guy fired.
There's that. Well, no. Everything is done in jest and joke with love and light and ha-has and hee-hees. It's 80s movies for crying out loud.
So you're saying the opposite of Transylvania 65,000. Our podcast is a lot of ha-has and hee-hees where I just watched this stone face going, what am I supposed to be doing?
Oh, I had a couple of giggles. There were some silly faces and some little smirks. And I love a Goldblum.
I'm kind of encouraged with what you're saying. Because I was like, this could either be a haunted honeymoon recording or this could be a tall guy scenario where I'm like, I don't know what's going on and you are over the moon. Because the thing that this movie has, wall to wall, and I don't think anyone would argue with this. This film is so packed with wasted talent.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Is it 84? Is it 85. Early? 85. Okay. Okay. So kind of early on in the... Hey, let me go ahead and introduce us. Yeah. Is that what I do?
No, I actually introduced. Okay.
Why don't you do that? I did my best. There were some parts that you're just... I was visiting the back of my eyelids. Let's say that.
Okay. And then something, something, Frankenstein, and a little girl. Like, that's what it was near the end. I told you, I was like, there's 35 minutes left. I don't know that I can do this. Because I was really under a time crunch for a movie that I started on Sunday. Jamie, I started this on Sunday.
Yeah.
And today, 3 hours before the podcast, I was like, I don't think I can finish this.
I know. You sent me the message. And I thought about it, though, in the last 30 minutes. A lot of it is just... There's the party that happens, things.
Jimmy, I think you mean Wine Festival.
Oh, the Wine Festival.
Pretty sure
you
mean Wine Festival. Well, something Transylvania is known for.
A nighttime wine festival. Oh man, sorry.
All right.
Okay. Go do it to it. Do it to
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Good Times, Great Movies.